I'm Leah Byrne. I'm the Audience Development Manager for Picture House Cinemas, and I'm here with the directors of Shaun the Sheep Movie 2, Farmageddon. Could I ask you guys to introduce yourselves, please?
Yes, hello. My name's Will Beecher. I'm one of the directors.
And I'm Richard Phelan.
Welcome. I've just seen the film and I enjoyed it very much. I hope that it was as much fun to make as it was to watch. Could I ask, when did you come on board with the sequel and what drew you to the story?
So we began work on the sequel as the first one was ending. And so we started to work what we could do next with Shaun the Sheep. And so we realised for the first film, he's on an adventure away from the farm. So we thought, what could we bring to the farm? And so we realised that sort of like isolated farmsteads are sort of like endemic to sort of like UFO folklore. And so then it just sort of spiraled from there, so we could bring an alien. And so we thought we could have crop circles, secret government organisations, and sort of, and so on and so on.
There were so many brilliant visual gags and puns, paying homage to a lot of classic films. Did you have any favourites that appeared?
Oh, yeah. There are, like you say, there's quite a few in there that they're hidden all the way through. Some are visual, some are more complicated. But one of my favourites is something from a modern day sci-fi film. It's to do with Arrival, and it's in a pizza box. So you have to look out for that.
For me, there's a reference to Stanley Kubrick's 2001 with a piece of toast. So yeah, I can't say any more, otherwise I'll spoil the joke.
I know the moment. I enjoyed that. There's so much detail. There seems to be puns on almost every surface in there. How much briefing do you give to all the staff to produce the magazine covers, the cornflake boxes, everything else that you can pick up on in the film if you're eagle-eyed enough?
Yeah, we start the whole process off as story, very story heavy. So about a year and a half of working on the script. And through that process, really, we're thinking all the way along about anything that might work, anything that might be fun to add in as a science fiction ref. And then the story team, the story artists, they're drawing the sequences, they might start adding ideas. And Rich and I really are involved all the way through the film. So at every stage, we're reviewing stuff. So we brief the story and the art teams. So every single packet in the supermarket, for example, is something that we would have seen and spoken about. But there are just so many, there's so many opportunities for those graphics and things in Shaun because it's silent. So we really did go to town with it and had a lot of fun.
Yeah, with the obviously the shorts and the previous film having been silent characters, you had to continue with that. How challenging was it? Because as the audience, we can understand everything that the characters are saying. They can understand each other perfectly. And there's so much humour and so much personality. Every character has a very distinct personality. Mm. How do you go about conveying that without any dialogue?
There's the pre-production process, the story process is about 2.5 years. And so everything is storyboarded multiple times. So there's literally hundreds of thousands of storyboards. And every 3 months we'd screen it internally to the studio and we would sort of watch it and go, do you understand what Shaun is thinking and his actions or bits are? And sort of like you said, me and Will have both worked in the series and the specials in the first film. So we also already know how Shaun and Bitzer would behave. So it sort of gives us a little clue as to how the scene would go. But then introducing our new character, Lula, was the sort of like, we then have to find her personality and sort of like how she would fit into the story as well.
I might add as well that we have got this incredible voice cast as well that we're using. And although they don't say anything in particular, they are really helpful in getting across the emotion of the scene. And on top of that, the animation team are just... We spend ages actually recording stuff with a live action video camera. We sort of act it out and try and get across all those little nuanced performances so that the audience watching understand the drama that's going on. But it is really hard. It's a real challenge to make this film, which is more complicated in a way than the first one. It's a very different story, but it's got more sort of strands to it. So it was quite complex to weave them all together.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the new character, Lula? And how she was developed?
Yeah, well, she represents for Shaun a brand new character, a new friend that he meets. She ends up by accident on the farm, and she's very innocent about the world around her. She doesn't know anything about it because she's an alien from a distant planet. So Shaun and her become friends. He realizes that she needs his help, and they have a bit of an adventure, lots of fun along the way. And in terms of her look and her design, we wanted to create a character that felt sort of special, supernatural in a way. She has these alien powers, but also she had to fit into the design world of Sean, and he's so iconic as a character. And everyone knows him. He's been around for 25 years. So we worked with the design team at the beginning, the story artist, to try and figure out a sort of simplified shape for her. And actually, if you look carefully, she's made up of her head is a little bit like a Roswell-style UFO, and then her body is like a sort of thrust engine coming out of it. So that's some of the inspiration behind her design.
And the Luna that we see on screen now, is that very close to the first iteration of the character, or did she change quite a few times?
No, she really did change a lot. She evolved many, many times. I think, do you want to say about how she was?
So originally we said to the designers, she needs to be appealing to Sean. That was it. So you can do whatever you want. And so they would draw like giant hulking sort of monsters. And then there's this little football version of her that would have been impossible to animate. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, they're all really interesting, but that's like Will was saying, we just went, she needs to be such an iconic silhouette that straight away you go, okay, she's going to fit in Sean's universe. And it was like through a sort of month long, sort of hundreds of designs, someone drew this UFO with the rocket thrust and just went, that's perfect. And then from that, it sort of snowballed from there, and sort of just the development of how she would move with the animators and the sculptors, it just all took off.
It's obviously a very family-friendly film, but I would argue that there's a lot there for adults to enjoy. What do you think about the film particularly makes it relevant to older audiences as well?
Well, I think there's I'd say you don't have to be a science fiction fan to enjoy it. There's like all Aardman films, it's got a sort of, it's for us, it's a bit like we took influences from the films we watched when we were growing up, and there's a lot of sort of the Steven Spielberg feel to it. We wanted to create a science fiction feel to the film. And there are references that only adults will get, and there's some that children will get. But we've also found there's lots of things that seem to, doesn't really matter whether you're young or old, they're funny. And they're in a way, they're the best ones, because we've had the film played in a couple of different premieres in different countries, and it's amazing to hear different audiences around the world reacting to the same things.
Yeah, I think there are some jokes which just adults will relate to. There's like there's jokes about recycling or buying sort of tickets to sort of these sort of winter wonderlands that turn out to be terrible. And so there's lots of sort of like just relatable moments from our own lives to go, yeah, I know what they're going through. And sort of like kids just enjoy it because it's fun, but adults, there's a sort of like a wink and a nod to like our own lives as well inside it.
How much do your own lives and those of the other crew members feed into some of the characters that we see?
Oh, massively. Whenever we develop Shaun the Sheep, either episodes or the film, we just talk about our own lives and events from them. And we find that the more personal we make them, it's almost like therapy, those get translated straight away into the episodes because there's a sort of an honesty and a truth to it. And then that then transcends and it just becomes so relatable around the world, even though it's like deeply personal to one person. It just sort of becomes something else. It's really magical.
Yeah, and the things that make us laugh, we worked hard with the humour to make it universal, but they are ultimately their things quite a lot of the time that either myself or Rich or our producer Paul or the writer Mark are things that we've all personally experienced. So and there's also elements of what it feels like to be a parent in there, or what it feels like to be an older brother from having kids and being in a supermarket that you wouldn't really be able to understand unless you'd been there yourself.
What for you makes Farmageddon a cinematic experience? Why should people go and see it on the big screen?
We've increased the scope and the scale of the film, both in terms of aspect ratio, but also in terms of sets, that the construction of this film is probably beyond anything Aardman's done before. It's just huge. And so we wanted to make it so that you need to see it on a big screen to really appreciate just how sort of magnificent some of the sets are, but also the storytelling is just becomes really grand and operatic, and there's something about watching it in a cinema with full of people so that you get that sort of giddiness around the comedy, but also like the awe and wonder and the spectacle of the sci-fi just sort of transcends.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. It's the awe of it, but also the shared experience, the humor that you laugh as a group. It's lovely to hear that. And the music as well, which just in a cinema sounds incredible. You know, it does feel like a big cinema experience.
What was the most complicated scene to shoot?
Well, we haven't made it easy because there are several really complex chase sequences, for example, which in this form of filmmaking, the stop motion, is difficult because nearly everything that's on screen has been made by someone, and we're constantly fighting with gravity. So, for example, there's a scene in the underground base. We have a sort of secret lair underground, and it involves a huge cast of characters and a vehicle moving at high speeds, and Bitzer, our sheepdog, running around in the middle of it all. And I think that was probably one of the most complex ones because it took months to plan it and then months to film it frame by frame.
Yeah, I would say there's some set pieces at the end of the film where one of the puppets was so big it took several people to pick up. And so it really is sort of grand scale sort of storytelling. But then at the same time, there's these wonderful emotional moments between Sean and Lula and Bitzer and Sean. And you sort of forget that the puppets, they're sort of no bigger than a bottle of water. And so the sort of tiny inflections and nuance, the animators are so talented that just sort of to be able to create this emotion through just these little sort of clay puppets is sort of like, I think sometimes that's the real magic of it.
We've been lucky enough to do a number of workshops with some of the Aardman model makers. Yeah. And we often get asked by adults as well, because we've done a few adults-only workshops because we got complaints from people that didn't have children or wanted a more in-depth session, how they can get into animating. And I know that there's some software that people can access.
I literally just started through drawing. So I'm not a stop-motion animator. I was a 2D animator. And so I would make comics and sort of draw storyboards. And then one of the directors at Aardman saw them, and so he asked me to come in, and sort of like he really liked the sort of like sense of humor I had, so he got me to start working on Shaun the Sheep. I know that there is an Aardman software. Unfortunately, I don't know all the details of it.
Yeah, and I had discovered animation as a kid as a hobby, and was doing it back in the sort of 80s with a video camera, really crudely. But nowadays it is incredibly easy. There are lots of apps, and we have one as well at Aardman, that just allow people to pretty much make animation on their tabletop at home or wherever, you know. So it's very accessible. And it does just involve having an object that you can move around in front of either a smartphone or a tablet, and then you're away. And within minutes you can have your own little animation.
Thank you. Are there any plans afoot for Shaun 3? Can you reveal anything for us?
Well, we've spent about 3 years working on this one, which comes out, as you know, very shortly. And there are always more ideas. So we're always talking about ideas for Shaun. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's back on the screen. If there's an audience for him, then we'll keep making them.
What genre would you like to see Shaun explore next?
I'd like to see a Western.
A gritty Victorian crime drama.
Yeah, courtroom drama with silent characters.
Excellent. Thank you very much.